You're listening to the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast. The Mog, not to be mistaken for John Candy's half-man, half-dog character from 1987 Spaceballs, is a mouthpiece for Mid-Atlantic creatives. I'm your host, Brad Cox, the Mog Father, a name affectionately coined and given to me by conversations with Rich Bennett, and I'm here to let you into the Mog House. Let's see who and what we're chewing on today on the Mog. The Mog, podcasting from Underground Studios, aims to be an all-inclusive, all-things creative networking megaphone, and with the amount of talent we have in our own backyard, I don't know that we'll ever have a shortage of good content and rich stories to tell. Everyone has a story that's uniquely their own, and it's the Mog's mission to unearth it. The Mouthful of Graffiti podcast started as a seed and couldn't have grown without the support of those who sponsored us along the way. We'd like to thank Musicland, Reb Records, Capricos Books, The Gone But Never Forgotten Black Eyed Susies, Vagabond Sandwich Company, Double Groove Brewing, and the Baltimore Decal Gal. Don't forget to use discount code MOGPOD for a 10% discount at Capricos Books. Everyone knows you can't stop by Main Street Bel Air without grabbing some fresh new wax at Reb Records, followed by a delicious lunch at Vagabond Sandwich Company. While you're in town, swing by Musicland for the latest in gear and rentals or a relaxing pint at Double Groove Brewing. Rumors, a Fleetwood Mac tribute is coming to the APG FCU Arena on June 30th. Fans from across the nation claim that Rumors is the band to see if you're looking for an authentic recreation of live Fleetwood Mac shows. Tickets are available at hartfordevents.com. Just announced, the Phoenix Festival Theater is bringing the Sound of Music to Hartford Community College's Amos Center this September. Directed by Kathy Concord, this musical classic set in the 1930s is sure to be a treat for Hartford County and beyond. For tickets, visit hartfordevents.com. Finally, Voyage, the ultimate journey tribute band, is set to touch down in Bel Air, Maryland on September 9th at 8 p.m. at the APG FCU Arena. Tickets are starting at $25. Visit hartfordevents.com. Jimmy Kells is an up-and-coming bluesy pop artist from the Mid-Atlantic region. He's got a rich, soulful voice, which has attracted a lot of the former and established Mog artists like Shane Burke and Josiah Orsi. He's a young cat with a lot of talent who is in the early years of his musical journey. If tracks like Save Me and Close to Me, Darling are any indication of what the future holds, Jimmy Kells will be sitting with the stars in no time. I'm thrilled to have him on the show. Join me in welcoming Jimmy Kells to the Gosh Darn Mouthful of Graffiti podcast. Jimmy Kells, welcome to the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm really excited.
I'm happy you're here too. It took a couple months, but we got you here.
Yeah, it took a bit of time, but hey, man,
is this your first podcast?
It's my first one like this, actual face to face and all that. Like,
so you've done like the Zoom type?
Yes, with Jeremy Cattle. I did one with him.
Jeremy Cattle?
Yes, he goes to...
Like cows?
Like cows. Well, okay. Except it's D's.
Okay.
D's instead of T's.
Fair enough.
But I met him at the Wrecker one time.
Okay.
I was performing there, and I met him after the show. I tried to invite him, but he already got invited. So he was already going to go anyways. So I met him there, and he said, hey, you should come on my podcast. And it was a Zoom podcast.
Very cool.
You know? I was like, hell yeah. So I went on there, and we did it.
Yeah, man. Your energy, I will just tell you, it is infectious.
Well, thank you.
It's fantastic. So where are you coming from this fine, finely dry, beautiful Maryland evening?
Well, I came from Hereford, Parkton.
So where's Parkton?
Parkton is north. It's like right up against the Mason-Dixon line. I actually saw, I was watching the news, the weather, and I saw Parkton. I'm like, that's me right there. That's Parkton. We're way up there. I was not expecting to see it.
It's a good day for yard work. Are you still doing yard work at the Manor View Farms?
How do you know about that?
I'll do my research.
Oh my gosh. I don't work at Manor View Farms anymore. That was a while ago.
You're working at an animal shelter,
An animal shelter right now. Yes. Well, whenever I tell people, I always say I work for the government. It makes it sound more professional.
Right.
Yeah. I always like to say that because it makes it sound more discreet, more secret, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I work for the animal shelter. It's fun. I enjoy it.
So let me ask you right off the top, is Jimmy Kells, is that your real name or is that more of a stage name? Because I could not find you in case search at all.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was born with James, but you know, Jimmy, you know, it goes with it. I was named after my grandpa. And then Kells is an Irish name. My dad, you know, we're from Ireland, originally our family name. We got the Book of Kells. You know, you ever heard of that Book of Kells?
I haven't, but that sounds interesting. What is the Book of Kells?
I have no idea. I think it's just a bunch of drawings of like Celtic, like old Celtic drawings, like of Vikings and like beautiful portraits, something like that. But I actually have the Book of Kells. I was given it by a friend in high school. But you know, I've looked through it. It's mostly just paintings or drawings, you know. But they're really good. But that's all I really know about the Kells. That's all I really know.
So the history.
Yeah, the history of Kells. Yeah,
it's just a couple paintings.
And... Yeah, they made a movie about it a couple years ago. I remember that. It was at the Oscars too. I couldn't believe it.
So when did you move here from Rochester, New York?
That was the summer of 2016.
Okay, what made you move here?
My dad's work.
Okay, yeah. So
he was a real estate manager. And his portfolio was closing. So he thought, well, I got to look for somewhere else to go. And he found a place in Maryland and it led us here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've liked it so far. It definitely changed, you know, the way I went through life. You know, it's like,
for sure.
Yeah. In New York, I was always a big athlete in sports, you know, and all that. And I was always connected, you know, in sports. And when I moved here, it was just a big change. I don't know. Hereford, it's a good school.
Well, what's Rochester like?
Rochester? Well, there's Rochester and then there's Pittsford, which is my town.
Okay.
Like Rochester is the city, and I never really ventured deep into Rochester because I wasn't really old enough to, you know.
Is it like a big city around, or is it kind of like a small town vibe?
It's a fairly big city, yeah.
Like akin to like Towson or Baltimore?
More like Baltimore, Towson, in between, actually. Okay. But it's bigger than Towson, but smaller than Baltimore.
Okay.
It has like the Rochester Red Wings, which is a AAA team.
Yeah, yeah.
They had like the Rochester Royals or something like that for like a old NBA basketball team. Like they're a fairly big, you know, city, but it's just I've never really like ventured deep into it, which is, I always wish I did. Actually, I went there the past summer for like a camp, a music camp. And I was actually able to go in and check it out. It was pretty cool. I met some cool people from music.
Did you have to leave some friends behind?
Well, it was funny because when I left, I was starting to, you know, really click, you know, find the friends that I was going to go with through high school, you know? And, you know, I left, it was my freshman year. My last year in New York was my freshman year. And then sophomore year, I started out in Maryland.
Yeah.
And I found,
which has got to be weird.
It was really weird. It was really weird. I found some really good friends in, you know,
a little
New
culture
York.
Culture shock, even.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, definitely. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I was a big sports athlete in New York, but then when I moved here, I was still that athlete. But I don't know, something changed because it was like it wasn't really more focused on sports, or like in Hereford, it was more focused on the arts, and I really felt that. You know, I felt that energy because in New York, I was always into, you know, chorus and singing, but it wasn't my main focus.
Yeah.
And then when I moved here, it made me think about, because I don't know, it just, maybe I wasn't as recognized as much. I was, you know, I was still like an all-state athlete and everything like that, but I don't know. It just didn't feel, something wasn't there with the sports.
Yeah.
And music, I felt a deeper connection to music, and I was introduced to more music and, you know, artists I would, you know, I love today. So it was definitely a big eye-opener to who I would become.
So by chance, this is kind of a strange thing, we ran into each other.
Yes, we
at
did.
The Cliffhanger X event at the Chesapeake Theater at Hartford Community College, and just recognized each other because of Facebook.
Yeah.
Right? So how did you hear about that particular event, and who were you there for?
That's crazy. I was there because, well, I go to the Forest Hill Studio.
Right, which is actually not in Forest Hill.
No, it's in Bel Air. Exactly.
It's very confusing.
Yes, it is.
It's like down by Boxo Pizzeria, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Right there, yeah. And I went there.
Josiah, change the goddamn name.
Yeah, Josiah, with Terry. Terry Peters.
Terry, change
Terry,
the name.
Come on, Terry, what are you doing? We love the name, but Terry, it's confusing everybody.
But you were there to see Elijah Dennis, Edge Dennis.
Yes, yes.
And what kind of show was it?
It was like an EDM show. He was controlling like what you have here, like an analog mixer, and he was controlling it, and he was just, there was video going on in the background. It was basically like a rave, you know?
Okay.
That's the idea I got from it. It was like, he wanted to be like a rave. It was it was something, man. The energy was crazy. It was really crazy. The music was, I've never heard music like that before. It was definitely far out.
The thing about Edge Dennis was, when I went to go look up Edge Dennis, I couldn't find the event anywhere. He didn't seem to have a social media presence like Instagram, yeah, Facebook. I was a little taken back. Like, what is this going to be?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's another thing. You said you're into marketing. You teach marketing. And I was
I'm the marketing guy. Like,
oh, you're
so
the marketing
for the
guy.
Events. So when I'm looking to like promote an event, I look at like what's already being done and how I can supplement that.
Okay. You teach at Hartford Community College though?
No, I work at Hartford Community College.
Oh.
So we have like a Fleetwood Mac band coming on Friday night. So my job is to make sure that the arena is filled.
Oh.
Right. So I do like the marketing campaigns through social media, the print campaigns, the radio campaigns. And then of course I do the ticketing too. And that's what you saw when you walked in. I was just kind of helping my box office attendant.
That'd be awesome. I would love to talk to you about actually doing a show there. If it comes up, you know, I would love to fill up.
Well, and that's what
that
he
place.
Did.
Yeah.
He rented the facility for the night and then, you know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Back to that, like I met him at Forest Hill Studio and he just came in. He goes to Berklee?
Berklee School of Music.
Yeah, he goes to Berklee. That's the same school that like Charlie Puth went to.
Because the people that were out in the lobby, they were like, yeah, he's done a ton of shows.
Yeah, he, I don't know if he usually, because I was expecting him to come with a band, honestly.
Yeah,
I was expecting that because I've heard that he's played out and he's played with, you know, with people, you know, it was just him performing like with on his laptop and everything. I was definitely thrown off in a good way, but I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see him up there by himself and he had a mask. Did you see that? He had a mask on. I was like, it's like Daft Punk. I don't know. It's the Deadmau5. I didn't know what was going on.
But he also records and tracks with Josiah.
Yes. Yes. I was with Terry one day because Josiah, he couldn't make it.
Yeah.
I think it was when his dad shattered his collarbone.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. We missed 2 weeks because of the computer was shut down and it was a whole bunch of stuff, but we're back on track. But Terry was there and he started showing me some of his music and I was really surprised. It was really good because I mean he was like doing funky stuff and I'm trying to get into like working with more people who can produce, because right now I'm just working on my laptop by myself, you know, mostly, and it's tough to get, you know, inspiration at times.
Sure.
So if I could work with people like that, you know, that's he's another level, you know, going to Berklee and working with people, you know, playing at bars.
Well, like, we'll give you a shout out, Elijah Dennis.
Elijah Dennis, shout out, man.
We're giving
shout
you
out
a shout out, man. And we'll get you on the show too.
Yes, cliffhanger.
So back in the day, there were, instead of podcasts, there were local radio shows like Noise in the Basement or The Underground and that kind of thing. Do you think podcasts are now kind of filling that void? Because those shows don't exist anymore.
I don't even know, man. It's
hard to say, right?
I don't know. That's not my,
because you didn't really grow up with
time.
That.
No, yeah. I wish I could have been involved with all types of, you know, marketing. Like
it
I want to
great.
Yeah, I bet.
Like Matt Davis would bring you down to the 98 Rock Studio, give you the full on rock star treatment, do an interview on the air, and then you went and played your show the next day.
Yeah,
it was killer.
I heard about that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And Noise in the Basement.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Man.
How about online radio stations? Are you connected with any of them at this point?
I heard one, like there's A Break, I'm pretty sure. Like my dad showed me that one. But there's Hartford Community College. I got onto that radio. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to promote my stuff any way possible.
It's a great way to do it. So if you're not familiar with Submit Hub, they can help you get reviews in different blogs. They can help you network with different local or online radio stations. Submithub.com.
You mind if I write that?
I'll write it down for you.
Okay.
I'll get it to you. All right. So I'm going to read the news really quick, and then we're going to get right into
read
this.
Read the news. Yes.
Got
like
to read
this.
The news,
let's
man.
Go.
All right. Transcendent Events is bringing the Anoxia CD release party to the Baltimore Sound Stage on July 8th with local legends 51 Peg, Rise Among Rivals, Amathia, and Distance to Dawn. Rapola Entertainment has Any Given Sin with special guests Awake at Last, A Light Divided, Rise Among Rivals again, Cole, another band that's been in the area for a long time, and After the Broken coming to the Record on August 19th. Have you played the Record yet?
I have, yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, I
was
opened.
It booked through Paul Manna, Nick, or
Nick Ellison.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. Feed the Scene has Bad Cop, Bad Cock. Jesus Christ.
Excuse me.
Feed the Scene. You know what? I'm going to leave that in there. Feed the Scene has Bad Cop, Bad Cop, the Homeless Gospel Choir, Callie Massey and the Pity Party coming to the Metro Gallery September 3rd. How about the Metro Gallery? You've been up there yet?
No, I haven't played there yet.
It's a really cool venue. Now, Kevin Hock at Transcendent Events, book shows there all the time. So try to get a show together maybe with Luke Roberts, Pat Rennie, just... So I feel like that'd be a cool pairing.
That would be awesome. What's his name? Kevin?
Kevin Hock at Transcendent Events. All right. And finally, be the first to message me the word smooth to win a $25 gift card to the Baltimore Decal Gal.
It's going to be me. I'm going to be the first
You
one.
Can't be the person.
I can't.
No, you can't be because you got an unfair advantage at
yes,
this point.
Yes, very.
Before we get too deep, I know a lot of your peers have been on the show already. Who are some of those guys and gals you might like to give a shout out to?
Shane Burke. Love you, Shane Burke. You're the man.
He is the man.
Yeah, he's playing
phenomenal
keys.
Talent.
Oh man, he comes in the studio.
So
with
how did
me.
You get connected with Shane Burke anyway?
I was at Forest Hill Studio.
He's like my age.
Yeah, I know, but he was at Forest Hill Studio and he just walked in. I guess Josiah invited him. I mean, the thing is, whenever I have, you know, studio time, I just like people just come in and they sit down and it's like we just enjoy the music we're making. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I don't like as long as we're getting stuff done. That's what I'm worried about. Yeah. I don't care if there's 100 people in the studio. As long as you know we're getting stuff done. That's what I'm focused on. But yeah, he just came in one day, and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And I'm like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And just I was like, "Oh yeah, that's Shane Burke."
Yeah, we could use some keys on this, and
I know. Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, he's really good at keys. He's played keys
phenomenal.
On the Save Me, and he's played keys on the Filthy Breeze, which is coming out. But yeah, man, he's really good.
Yeah,
he's,
man. I can't wait to talk about the music. So we're going to do the fun questions now. We're going to re-break the ice and then we'll get into your music.
Re-break.
All right. Obviously, you grew up in a totally different era. So what were some of your favorite cartoons growing up?
Favorite cartoons? Oh, God.
Like Bob's Burgers, BoJack. Like you grew up with a totally different arsenal of cartoons.
Cartoons? Well, we're talking like Disney, man. Like, I don't even know. I guess Family Guy is pretty cool, but I don't like American Dad. Like that's what I guess got into like
American
when I was in
Dad.
When I was in high school or something
that's
like that.
It's the same people as Family Guy, right?
Yeah. What's his name? I can't remember his name. The guy who invented it. I can't remember his name. But
yeah,
he's pretty
I can't
good.
Think of it either, but
there's some good cartoons. I don't know. Like I don't want to say it's like Johnny Test. Like I started watching that. I don't know. Kick Buttowski, man. Very underrated show. Nobody knows about it too. Disney XD. That's what I'm talking
All
about.
All right. Disney XD.
Yeah.
All right.
That's for the skater boys right there. I'm starting to skate now. I really like it. More like
okay.
More like the cruise. I'm not good at the kickflips.
So the longboards.
I want to get a longboard. I have like a smaller longboard, which is kind of tough to picture, but I mean I want like the longboard where it's like you can see the wheels, you
yeah
know?
Yeah the
I want
fat
that
ones, yeah.
Oh the cruiser, yeah, but cartoons, man, like I
not,
don't know,
not really your thing.
Not really. No,
fair enough. How about your favorite Netflix series then?
Favorite Netflix series,
maybe one that's no longer even in production, like Stranger Things, Ozark, Breaking Bad.
I never was a big fan of those. Well, Stranger Things, everybody's watched it, but like it's not my favorite. Like The Office, that's I mean, I can't go wrong with that. Sometimes I'll just pull it up and just watch it on my YouTube, you know? That show for me is so funny. And my dad, I'll pull it up sometimes and he'll be like, "You know, you realize that is the most unrealistic office ever." I'm like, that doesn't matter.
So
it's a show.
Maybe it is, but there was a time where that's the way it was. I used to work at the Baltimore Sun, and that's kind of the way the culture was. I mean, it wasn't that unrealistic for us.
Yeah.
But nowadays, yeah, it'd probably be a little unrealistic.
How was the Baltimore Sun?
It was a wild experience, man.
I bet. Yeah. How long were you working at Baltimore Sun for?
2006 to 2012. And basically, they started a round of buyouts and layoffs, and you could see the print advertising was kind of going out, and
Damn.
Everything was moving online. So then I went to Patch.com, which was an AOL property, and it was that everything was going to digital marketing at that point. And that was before everybody was like using Facebook and their socials to market. So it was just a totally different animal.
Yeah. You've always been into marketing and like getting names out there. Is that what you're about? Like just getting people out there, you know?
I mean, this show, it was really a product of COVID. You know, I had been playing out live for so long that I knew all these different people in the music industry. And it was just like, I want to just start, instead of playing live and networking in that capacity, I want to start getting them on the show and interviewing them and give them a spotlight. Because so many people helped me along the way. Nobody's self-made, right? Behind every person, there are a lot of people to make that person possible.
You can't do it on your own.
Arnold said that. On the flip side, you got to grind too. Like early to bed, early to rise. Wake up, work hard, and advertise. That was his whole thing.
That's Arnold?
Yeah, because, you know, he's a professional bodybuilder. Then he's obviously a huge actor.
Yeah.
And then he's a politician.
Yeah.
He's done it all.
Yeah. He had an interview, and he heard people complaining about not getting enough rest. He's like, sleep faster. It's like, he just do it fast. He's got 6 hours of sleep, man. I complain about not resting enough. It's like, well, drink some coffee, you know? Stop crying about it. You know, get to it. I got to get back into it, man. I got to start working harder, you know? You got to be on yourself. You got to pressure yourself to really be the best you can possibly be, because no one else is going to check up on you like that, you know?
They're not.
No.
No, you got to be your own advocate. So,
you really do.
Do you have any hidden talents that nobody knows anything about? Like, are you double jointed? Can you burp the alphabet?
No.
Do you speak multiple languages or anything like that? Like, is there anything about Jimmy Kells that they just wouldn't know?
I'm good at sports. I can sing. That's about it. I can, I don't know, man. Like, I can skate. I'm good at 2K, you know, Madden.
All right, we'll go the other way. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? Like, would you have X-ray vision, the ability to shoot webs?
Maybe teleport, you know.
Teleporting?
Yeah, just to be anywhere where I want to be, you
know. Okay, so kind of like a ghost feature.
Yeah, maybe just to go back in time, maybe pause time, you know. Freeze the good moments, or, you know, maybe get past the bad moments. But the thing is, if you get past the bad moments, you won't appreciate the good moments. So I don't know.
And it's funny you just brought up time travel, because all my fun questions here says, if time travel were possible, what's one thing you might change about your past?
What's one thing? Dude, I don't know. Like,
or would you not?
I don't think I should.
Why mess with it?
Yeah.
It got you to where you are.
I don't know. You gotta just keep on going. You can't look back.
Yeah.
I've had not regrets, but just times where I've been like, man, I could have been better, you know? Like, I could have worked harder, you know? Like, I was an all-state athlete in high school. Like, football, senior year, I was just thinking about that. Like, man, if I had senior year back, how much harder would I have worked, you know? Because how much more would I have been recognized? But the thing is, if I had been recognized a little bit more, maybe I wouldn't be here today. Maybe I wouldn't have, you know, been making music. Maybe I would have, you know, been wrestling. And I don't know. Like, I got a letter from Brown, an Ivy League school, Brown. You know, that's the same one that Trump went to. You know, like, it's a good school, man. And I was just, it's just like, I don't know, man. You just look back and you think, oh, things could have been different if I just had been better. But the thing is, you know, you got to really set your feet on the ground and realize that you can make it better right now. You know, just take what you have and move on. I don't know. That's a thing. You got to just
keep moving forward.
Yeah, take advantage that you have this day, you know? I don't know. I remember I was listening to Janis Joplin. I really like Janis Joplin. She has a song, like, I like the live versions.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they just go on riffs, like Jimi Hendrix, like Voodoo Child.
A lot of jamming, for sure.
Oh, I love that. And she goes, you know, you had one day, you know, all those 364 days in the year, like, they didn't mean nothing. But that one day, you know, if you just gave it all you had, you know, because in the end, it is just one day. And it is. All it is just one day. You have one day, which is just your life. I don't know. Maybe this is just one day. I don't know,
This is just 1 hour of one day on the Mouthful Graffiti podcast, man.
You just got to take advantage of the time you have, or else you really won't realize how special it was. I don't know, man.
And your persistence is actually why you're sitting here right now.
Dude, I really wanted to be on this podcast.
I know.
I've bothered you about it. And I was talking to Josiah. I'm like, Josiah, you got to get me on that podcast, man.
You have to understand, man. Like, here's the thing. I am so far behind.
And, there's no worries, man.
And I just wish there was more. Like, I wish... Well, what I would like to see in the future is there be other people that can host the show under the same name. That way, we can get more people in.
Yeah.
Because I'm only one dude.
I understand.
So it is tough, because there's people that are sitting in my inbox. I don't want them to feel like I don't want to bring them on at all. It's just I can't catch up.
You're just one guy.
I'm just one guy.
And you got a job. You got a life. You know, You got other things going on.
That's right. All right. So favorite Halloween costume and candy.
Oh, God.
We're back to the fun, man.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Do you have a favorite costume? Is it like Bumblebee? Wanna, or?
Oh, my gosh. But costume, I was always a clown growing up. But
a clown?
Yeah. But last Halloween, I was in Florida with my buddy, my best friend. His name is Terrell Hill. Shout out Terrell Hill. Florida, we dressed up. He was like a hippie. He was like, he had the rice farmer hat, and he had like a hippie shirt and everything. It was, he had a whole vibe going on. And then I had like a doctor suit, but I don't want to get into it because my parents might be listening to it. I don't know. But yeah, we had a great time in Florida, just to say that, you know, it was rocking. But yeah, Halloween, just like, the thing is, just throw on like a jersey, you know, just have a good time, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Candy. Favorite one?
Oh, candy. I love lollipops.
All right, lollipops.
Love it. I like the Tootsie Pops. The thing is, if the blow-up lollipops, they had the sour apple. If they took some of those. But if they took that and then put a Tootsie Roll inside of it, I don't know, man. Like, that would...
They don't have a green apple Tootsie Pop?
They do, but they don't... Like, it's like a special. It's like a rare lollipop. Okay. You never see it, you know?
It's like the Blue Raz.
Exactly, yeah. You never see it enough.
Yeah. All right, so I saw you're going to the Hot August Festival. Is this the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe. The thing is, yeah, I was actually... I was invited to work there.
Okay. They,
yeah, I know someone who... The mom... Wait, no. The guy who's running it, who's setting it up, his mom actually volunteers where I work.
Okay.
Yeah, and she invited me to work there. But the thing is, I don't know. I'm supposed to be... well, that's a thing. I might be going to Nashville that week, so who knows, I might have to, I don't know, like, it's a big thing, you know, going on with...
It's a really cool event, man. I took my daughter there like 5 years ago and we had a blast.
Yeah,
man. Are you old enough to drink?
Oh yeah, I'm 22.
Okay, so yeah. You're 22. There's nothing better on a sunny day than sitting on that lawn drinking beers and just chilling.
It's like, sorry, Nashville, postponed. I'm going to that hot summer August.
Yeah, hot August festival is
August.
Very cool. And there's a lot of great bands, man. Even if you don't know who they are, they're all great musicians. And
oh, yeah. I'm scheduled to work, so hopefully I'll be able to go. That's what I'm planning on. Yeah.
So let's get into your background.
Let's do it.
So take me from the earliest years of your musical life. Like, what albums or musicians were you first introduced to?
First album? Well, like...
You brought up Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, but like... Yeah. What were the first records that your parents or you just stumbled upon? You're like, man, I really like this.
Well, I wasn't really deep into music at the time, but my dad, he loves the Eagles, and he would just have the greatest hits Eagles on.
Okay.
So Lion Eyes, you know, Take It Easy.
Like Hell Freezes Over, that video?
We didn't listen to a lot of Hell Freezes Over, but mainly just the greatest hits.
Yeah.
He had that CD, and he would just plug it in. We would just listen to it on repeat. My mom, she's always been into country, you know, the light pop, you know, kind of like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The thing is, music wasn't a really big part of my life. You know, it kind of just found me.
Because you were in sports and all that.
Sports. Yeah. That's my dad.
But what would you listen to get like pumped up for like a football game?
I wouldn't really, like, the thing is, I wouldn't really focus
really?
On the music. No, I just focus on what I have to do. You know, that's really what it is. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really focused on anything but getting the job done.
What about influences now that you're into the music scene?
Now that I'm into it, I love The Door, like the 27 Club. Like, it's kind of weird, but I love the 27 Club. Like Kurt Cobain with Nirvana, Amy Winehouse, you know, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, you know, Jim Morrison with The Doors. The thing is, people always forget Brian Jones with The Stones, you know, and Robert Johnson. But I don't listen to The Stones or Robert Johnson very much, but mainly The Doors, you know, I love The Doors. Mac Miller, he died at 26, you know, and then Tupac, 25, you know, like, those are my guys, and yet they die so young, yeah, which is crazy to me. But man, it's like, I don't know. Frank Ocean, I love Frank Ocean. Justin Bieber, he has this one album called Changes. That's my favorite album by him. I listen to that from time to time. It's really good. I don't really listen to, like...
I think you get Shane Burke to maybe do like a Doors cover with you.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, that would be awesome.
Because he could do it like blindfolded.
Like Riders on the Storm. I love that song.
It's a great song.
Oh my God. But that's the thing. Like,
People Are Strange has always been my jam.
People Are Strange, yes. But maybe some like, but the thing is, it's like there's a little bit of lines, but then it's mainly keys. And I always think about that solo Ray Manzarek has. And it's like, there's this one note that makes it like imperfect. You know, if he hit that one note, if he just didn't hit that one note, it would have been like perfect. But the thing is, then it would have been like, it's too perfect. You know, it's like,
yeah.
There's this Parks and Rec, which is a show, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Ron Swanson. Yeah, Ron Swanson. He's building chairs and then he just wrecks one chair. And this guy, Tom, he goes, why'd you do that? He goes, it was too perfect. It has to look like almost perfect, but like imperfectly perfect, you know, like it was human made.
Yeah.
That was
the beauty of Nirvana.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of people, like some people love Nirvana and some people just are like, I hate Nirvana. I was like, I met this one guy.
You had to have been there. Like the cultural shift from bands like Poison, Motley Crue, and all that kind of stuff to Nirvana was like, it was meteoric.
Why is that?
Because it was nothing we had heard before. It was very punk rock, like akin to like the Sex Pistols or Fugazi. It was just like this kick in the door. And all the music in the 80s was getting so bloated and just so disingenuous and derivative that you needed somebody real to just come in, kick the doors and be like, this is who I am, three chords in the truth, and do it. And that's what Kurt Cobain was to that generation. There were other bands that were great, like Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains.
Soundgarden?
They were more perfect.
Yeah.
Kurt was perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
Like, you had to be there.
I like Nirvana.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, some guy, he said, yeah, because Kurt Cobain, he didn't really know how to play guitar.
He didn't really know
how
to sing, but he figured it out. You know?
Yeah, he just made it up as he went along. Right. He wasn't supposed to be the singer
of the
band.
It's rock and roll. Like, yeah. I don't want Pavarotti singing on my rock and roll record.
That was that was gritty rock and roll.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was crazy.
So what about like some like modern bands that you might be into?
Modern bands?
You can even throw out some local shout outs if you want. Like when you get in your car and turn on Spotify or your Spotify playlist, like who are some of those groups?
Well, I'm telling you, it's like, man, I don't know. It's just like Frank Ocean, maybe Toby Keith randomly. And I don't know, I listen to more country since I moved.
Country.
Yeah, more country now since I moved to Hereford. Some kid was like, you're going to listen to country. I'm like, nah.
I'm
never going to listen to it.
Interesting thing about your music. It does kind of go, there's a bluesy, poppy, folk mix.
Yeah.
In the music. So
I keep you on your toes. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I try to. I don't know, man. I make music all the time. So I'm always looking for new ways to really sound different.
So what was your introduction into music? Were you playing like the recorder, the piano, the guitar? Like what were some of those first instruments you played?
I was first into chorus, you know, like singing on the stage, you know, with all the other kids.
That.
Yeah. And I was an all-county chorus in elementary school way back, and this music teacher, she said, you know, this kid, he knows what he's doing. Like he has a taste.
Was it
for
natural,
music.
Intuitive kind
it
of
was
thing?
Just, yeah, it was like the feeling, you know. I don't really know notes. I can't read a music sheet. You know, I can't play any instrument. It's funny because you bring up like recorder.
Yeah.
I was playing the recorder in elementary school, and you know how there's white belt, yellow belt, like green belt,
right.
All that. I got past white belt. That's it. Like I was the worst player in my class. And that was like second grade. I was
well,
the worst
quarter.
Yeah, but I was the worst one. And now I'm doing music. Like I love music, but I can't play an instrument. I can play a little bass, but who can't? You know, it's just bass and guitar. I can play a little guitar, you know,
right.
But like, I don't know, dude. I just know the feeling. That's all I need. Maybe. I don't know. I just know.
Well, you're a damn fine vocalist. Did
you take
any lessons anywhere or?
Recently, I have been taking lessons.
Okay.
This was all I know is her first name, Jennifer. I was with my old music teacher at Hereford. I asked him, hey, do you mind giving me some vocal lessons? And he said, well, no, I can't, but I know someone who can. And she actually graduated from Johns Hopkins Peabody, and she's an opera singer.
So, oh, wow.
Oh, man, she is an amazing singer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's a great teacher, too. She's teaching me all types of things about control and using my stomach and not using my vocal cords to like project, you know. It's like, oh my God, dude, like how far I've came, you know. And it's because of my mom, really. She kept on pushing me. Hey, if you really want to do this, you got to, you know, you got to make sure you master your instrument, you know, which is my voice.
Yeah. And I was going to ask if your parents were supportive, because sometimes parents aren't. They see music as kind of a distraction from the career or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, your rock and roll fantasy is not going to pay the bills. It's like, maybe it's not, but that's what I want to do.
Yeah, my parents, well, I don't know. It's just, I've always been a hard worker. And when I first, like, I went to community college for a semester, and I never liked school. And I only went just to do something, you know, because I was still figuring out my life, I guess. At that age, it's like, you got to figure it out. You know, it's like crazy. You know, you got to figure it out so soon, but I don't know.
Life kind of figures it out for you.
It did. Yes. Life does figure it out for you. Yeah. And I kind of just, I started making my own music. Well, it was more writing. Like I started getting into it because of writing. I loved writing. I would just write down my thoughts, you know. It's just a long story.
How long have you been doing that? Since even before the sports or?
Nah, that was senior year. That was like midway through senior year.
Like maybe. A diary kind of thing or?
Yeah, it was like a journal.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just carry it around in school.
Just lyrics and poetry?
Yeah, or? It felt so weird at first because I'm like, what am I doing, man? Like, this is my way out, really. You know, just writing down just random thoughts.
That's what you were doing.
Yeah, and I took a guitar class senior year and I started realizing that, you know, wait a second, I might be able to turn this into a song. So I just started writing random songs and I found YouTube beats, you know, just randomly. And I just started writing songs, you know, saving this YouTube beat, just making sure it was there, you know, just so I could show off to like my sister, you know, my brother.
Right.
I would always be like, hey, Matt, can I show you a song? He'd be like, fine. I'm like, that's my brother, Matt.
Does he talk like Napoleon Dynamite? Fine.
Fine. Sometimes he doesn't mean to, but he's like,
God, I don't want to hear another song.
Whatever I want to do, gosh, you know.
Right.
You fat lard. Tino, you fat lard. You know. But yeah, I just wanted to do it, you know. It meant nothing, you know. It was literally nothing. It got
but
me.
But it meant everything, really.
Yeah.
To get you to where you are now.
It was getting me nowhere, but, you know, it got me somewhere, you know, in my development of music, which is crazy. You know, like now I write, you know, now I write almost every day. I need to do it, man. I need this to be my life.
It's cathartic. It's art therapy.
Yeah.
Get your thoughts out, organize them.
And it's crazy because I think about how far I've gotten within 6 months. Like these past six months, I've really just, I've been grinding, man. Like I went to the studio, driving out, you know, going to the open mics, you know, talking to you, you know, and oh man, it's just these past 6 months. I played 5 shows, played at the Wrecker, you know, it's like, man, like just 6 months. It's like, what can I do in these next 6 months since I've gotten this far? How far can I go in the next 6 months?
So when you play a show, who's in the band? Like, are you recruiting musicians for the event? Or?
Nah. It's just me at the moment. And then I have my man, Silent K, Kai Green. Shout out Kai Green. He runs, like, he has my laptop or he has his laptop. And actually, the last show, he basically DJ'd what he like transitioned to the next song. And, you know, he's done very good at it. He's done very well. Man, he's been a trooper, you know. Like, I want to get to the point where I can really support other people, too, you know, with the music. You know, make enough money, like make $1,000 in a show and then pay him like $100, maybe. You know, I really want to make sure that, you know, I have people coming out, too. That's the whole idea, man. Turning this into a business.
Well, I guess the question would be like, do you have a guy that you call to play the drums? Like,
no.
No. Okay.
It's just me up there. And then I go, Kai, run it, you know? And he just goes, okay. Boom. He plays the next song. Yeah, that's really what it is right now. But hopefully I can get people
you got guys like Shane Burke. They could fill in and play with you.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the track's there, but they could.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And he'd probably love to do it.
Man, that's a great idea. I want it.
So before we move on to the music, talk to me a little bit about the sports. How long had you been into the whole sports thing? And what were some of the first sports you got into?
Sports. First sport was baseball. So first sport was always, it was always baseball, you know?
Yeah. I think that's for a lot of people in general. It's like baseball and soccer. And then you get to high school and it's like lacrosse and football.
Mm-hmm. Well, I played baseball and then it went to wrestling. My dad, he really wanted me to do wrestling because he was a wrestler in high school and he wrestled in college. And then like middle school, my parents finally gave in and let me play football. But it was, and then I played basketball too. I was playing for like a church, you know, like the CYO, you know, but yeah, New York, I was playing. It was funny. It was a football fall and then wrestling winter, but then sometimes after practice I would go and play, you know, go to practice. And it was funny because the middle, it would I was on varsity in like 8th and 9th grade, and the middle school is where we practice, and then the church was literally right across the street. So I would practice wrestling and then go right across the street and have practice at basketball. And I was like, I can't be practicing anymore because my face would be red, beat red. I'd just be exhausted. It's like, oh, I have school the next day, you know. But man, I just loved it. You know, I loved sports, you know. It wasn't really, I didn't really.
Do you still love sports? Like, do you love watching them?
Ah, man, I was never like, it never got to the point where it was like, oh man, I have to watch this game. I have to, like, I don't know. I liked playing baseball. You know, I liked playing football. I didn't.
It is interesting.
Yeah. But I was always good at it. You know, that's why I did it, because I was just good. Like, that's the only reason why I kept going, really. I didn't really think about, like, the future until it was too late. You know, then I was like, oh, crap. You know, I have to really think about what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, or at least with the next 10 years, because, I don't know, you have to make some money. This is, it's real life, man. You know, you get out of high school, you're like, crap. You know, you're getting introduced to the reality.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but.
And the housing market's ridiculous. Yeah, like, how am I going to get a house?
I'm not paying rent. Even rent is tough. I can't do that, man.
Yeah.
I just live at home. I pay rent to my parents. You know, it's like, hey, that's where I am right now, you know, but I'm working my way up. You know, I can't wait to get to the point where I can tour and I can, because it's going to happen. I just know it. If I keep working hard enough, you know, I know that one day, maybe a year from now, maybe 6 months, who knows? It could happen any day now. I'm going to be touring. I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to be making it. I know that. You just got to say it. You got to speak it into existence, because then it will happen.
So if you could tour or perform with any national artist, who would that be? You want to go on the Justin Bieber tour?
Nah. You know who?
You're a Justin Bieber fan, right?
I mean, not enough. I don't usually say it out in the open too often. But yeah, I like listening to Justin Bieber, you know.
I mean, your music does have a pop element to it.
It does, yeah. Like that Close to Me, Darling, it has that pop. Yeah.
And you said earlier in the podcast, it was a record of his that you really liked.
Yeah, The Changes. Yeah, that album, it's really good. Like, yeah. That's my favorite one of his. Yeah, but it's really good. But I would have to say right now that it's alive, probably, oh my gosh, maybe Drake, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, you know, because their concerts are insane.
Have you thought about, because you got the voice, right? Like, kind of fusing it. So like, do a song where you're doing the choruses and you bring somebody else to do some hip hop or rap over the music.
Well, yeah, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
You just got to find people who
this
rap,
guy. Yeah. Know? There's a couple great performers in the Baltimore area. Femi the Dryfish would be great.
Who?
Femi.
Femi the Dryfish.
Yeah. Hmm. Like fish out of water, dry fish.
Femi the Dryfish, okay.
But yeah, he's fantastic. But yeah, that might be a really cool angle to go.
I would love to. That'd be awesome.
So we're speaking it into existence
right now. We're doing it.
So I know you haven't done a ton of shows thus far, but at this point, what are some of your favorite venues that you've played?
Definitely The Wrecker.
Yeah. That was our favorite when we were coming up too.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mess. I want to fill it out. That's what I want to do. I want to perform there.
It's an awesome,
you know, headline and just fill it out. Have people going, oh my God, let's go, Jimmy Gala. You know, Zen West is another great one. I performed there 3 times.
Zen West is a great venue, mid-sized venue.
Yes. If you can, it's not, I feel like I'm getting more and more people to come out too. So that's a great thing. My following might be growing. I don't know. I'm just saying it now, but like it might be growing. It might be getting better. But, you know, Zen West is a great one. I actually performed at the Auto Bar and I didn't have the best experience there. I don't know if I would perform there again. Maybe. I don't know. But it was just, it was a...
Was it a weird pairing of groups?
No, it wasn't that. It was just a weird experience with the actual place.
Okay.
You know? I don't want to call out, you know, take any shots. But, you know, it was just a unique experience.
Well, you've got a full-length record on Spotify.
Yes.
Reacting to Sound.
Yes.
Relatively speaking, tell our listeners what that album sounds like and when it came out.
What it sounds like. Sounds raw. Because the thing is...
I didn't think it sounded that raw. No? I thought it sounded great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I produced that and mixed and mastered and everything on FL Studio.
Can you explain to me on Lost in Transition who's playing that guitar?
That's a loop.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. I'll go on. There's this website called Splice. And all I do is just basically, because I can't play any instruments.
Sure.
And I used to be
little guitar, right?
Little guitar, little bass.
Little guitar.
I played bass on Lost in Translation. A lot of the songs I play bass on. But yeah, I got that off of a website called Splice, which, you know, you pay monthly, you know, but once you, you know, basically take the loop, it's yours. It's royalty free.
Okay.
So once you get it, you kind put like it on
Pexels
your
son. Videos.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But once it's on my song, it's mine. It's 100% owned. And, you know, I can just take that and I released it. You know, like that's a whole album just of just it's for me, it's raw because that's not like the peak for me. I want it to be like, you know, done in a professional studio.
Sure.
That's done in my room, you know? That whole album is just done in my room. You just recorded in my room. Maybe the laundry's going,
sounds
I don't know.
Sounds great, man.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I've tried my best. You know, it all came from the heart, but...
What is your songwriting process? Or how do you put the songs together? Do you start with the lyrics and then try to find something that matches that?
It's kind of funny because sometimes I'll just be writing, you know, and... Then I'm looking through, you know, loops, you know, and everything like that. It's just sounds. And I put it on there and I'm trying to write something to it. You know, maybe I write something to it and everything fits. You know, everything goes the way I want it to. Sometimes I can't find the right sound at all. And I just go, I look through my journal, maybe journals, I don't know. And then I find something I like and I go, okay, let me just try this out. And it goes right. Like, actually, I was working at Forest Hill Studio. It was Monday night. And we were working on a song called Paradise, which we want to bring down in Nashville. And we were working on it. And he's like, you got to put some more lyrics into it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So I look through my journal and I find like a whole page worth of stuff. I'm like, man, I really like that. Like when I wrote it, I was like, I really liked how that went. You know, it was like summer lifts, summer bliss, summer riffs. I don't know. But it's like, it's just sounded right, you know? Like the synonyms and all the words just came together. So it's like sometimes, you know, I'll write to it, you know, on the fly. And sometimes it just, I find something that I like and it just goes together in the way I want it to. It all just comes and goes, you know. There's not a specific, like you can't just go, oh, I have to write it this way. I have to go this way. No, like songwriting is just, you know, creative flow. You have to bend, but you can't break, you know. You got to be able to bend in any way. Because I was working with other people in the studio at Forest Hill, like Rachel Novak. She was there.
Yeah.
She helped me write some lines. You know, same with Josiah. He helped me write some lines to the song. You know, it's like you got to be willing to bend any which way. You got to let other people, you know, get on it because they may have something that you thought you never could be on the song. And it worked out great. So we're going to be, you got to be willing to bend any which way. That's right. The way I see it.
Let's take a moment and listen to Lost in Translation.
Let's do it.
Oh yeah. Here we go, man. Damn. So free. Like a sponge under the sun. These hours racing can only tell by the way. Señoritas introduce new bikinis. Hola, a brand new greeting. A whole no meaning to having fun. Exhilarating. Buenos vibraciones. So much alegría. Con hermosa zona. Gran fiesta esta noche. By the way, señoritas introduce no bikinis. Hola, a brand new greeting. So we're lost in translation. Divide our equator. Not the type for exclusion. Necesito hacer el amor. Gather around the bonfire. We're singing, we're living. Yeah, and tomorrow morning I'll be. Sun. I'm like a sponge under Senorita, by the way. Senoritas introduce no bikinis, hola, a brand no greetings.
All right, Jimmy, that's fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
One of the things that I found in doing this is that a lot of bands or artists, they're not just artists. They're trying to be the marketing person. Hmm. They're trying to be the PR person. They're trying to do all the aspects of being a major label themselves.
Yeah.
How do you personally juggle all of the responsibilities? Because that's what we're all trying to do.
Oh, man.
We're trying to run our own marketing campaigns and get spins and do all the stuff. Trying to write the songs, produce the songs.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot to it.
I would say it's fun to do all that, but it's not. All I really want to do is write music. You know, that's all I want to do. I want to make music. That's why I did music. But now I have to post every day on social media, you know. Talk to graphic designers, it's just a whole bunch of stuff. But I mean, sometimes you have to do the things you don't want to do in order to be able to do the things you want to do. So, I mean, if that's what I have to do, then so be it, you know, because I want that life. I want that rock star life. I want to be able to make music. So if I have to sacrifice some time to do things I don't want to do, so be it.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the generalized oversaturation of artists that are out there? Because when we were coming up, we didn't have a window into all this. We didn't know. So in our immediate area, there's maybe 25, 30 bands that you could find, and you'd find by going out to the shows and seeing them.
Yeah.
So how do you cut through all that?
Well, I don't feel overwhelmed by that. Like the many artists. Because I know I'll be fine. Because I know my worth. I know that people will recognize that I'm real and that the music is real. So I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about, like I said, the 27 Club, like those are my idols, you know?
But you're going to be like the 57, 67 Club.
Yeah, I know, right? Like I say that now, but it's like, damn, you know? I don't know, but I think about that. But also it's just the amount of work, you know, like posting on like social media. Oh my God,
dude. It is exhausting.
And the thing is, I get lost in it sometimes. You know, I'll just be scrolling through Instagram and then there goes an hour. Lost in translation, more like, yeah. And then you got to go to work. I don't worry about other like people as much as I should, but like it's just
the idea of how much is out there. And not just music, just content in general.
Oh, well social media.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, that part is definitely overwhelming. Yeah, because you got a lot of people who just, I don't know, it's just clout chasing. You know, that's what it is. Basically I'm clout chasing. You know, you could say I am, because I mean, what else am I doing? I'm posting on social media every day. Of course I'm clout chasing. That's the game. That's the life. That's the whole game nowadays. If you want to be able to make it, you got to post a cool, cute video that gets millions of views, you know? And then it's like, oh yeah, he has that video on Instagram. You know, that's the game, man. Like nobody, Logic said this. He said, nowadays, people don't buy the music, they buy the brand, you know? People don't really care about the music as much, I feel like. You know, it's everything sounds the same. Like, I don't know, dude. It's just, to be unique, does it really mean as much today? Like, does it? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that I'm who I am, and I just try to make my own music, but hopefully it pays off. We'll see.
Yeah, man, you're doing a great job. You got some cool marketing materials.
Damn, getting real deep. Yeah.
You gave us a t-shirt when we got here.
Of course.
You worked with Old Eastern Screen Printing, which is Nick Volk and Molly Corman.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
They were very helpful.
They're wonderful people. They really are. They did all the Mouthful Graffiti t-shirts. I'd get you one if I had one, but I don't have one.
No worries.
You might
be
able to get one at Reb Records. They might still have an extra large up
Reb
there.
Reb Records, yeah.
Yeah. Right there on Main Street.
Well, cool, man. I would love to get one.
Yeah. All right, I want to get into your music video for Save Me.
Oh, okay.
Because the big thing we're promoting today is your new single, Save Me. And if I would have got you on earlier, it could have preceded the release of Save Me. But obviously, Save Me is out there with a killer video. It came out 11 days ago.
Yes.
Right? So let's start with the video itself. Who filmed it, and would you recommend them?
Yes, very much so.
All right, who did it?
Micah Orsi. That's Josiah.
Oh, Micah did that.
Yeah, that's Josiah's brother.
Okay, he ain't playing. Like, what kind of gear is he running? Like, that camera.
Oh, man, I don't even know, but
That was like movie quality.
Yeah, he had like five people with him. It was pretty crazy. I would definitely recommend him. Yeah.
So is this the first full length video you've done?
Not really.
You've got a lot of shorts.
I've also done videos with like my brother, you know, like just like, you know, backyard videos, you know, just to get videos out there, but nothing like this. This is when Josiah heard, like when Josiah did this, he's like, dude, you got to get my brother, because my brother, he knows what he's doing. And he got his brother in there and we worked out a deal. And, you know, man, I showed my parents that, they're like, whoa, this is a different type of level, you know, like trying to move up. So yeah, I was very pleased with what he came up with. Of course, it was amazing.
And in the video, you're in a very contemplative state.
Mm-hmm.
You're smoking a cigar. I am a cigar enthusiast. What brand of cigar were you smoking in this video?
Might have been a Davidoff. I'm not entirely
Have you ever sure. had the Fat Bottom Betty?
Haven't had that.
Try it.
A Fat Bottom Betty.
Yes.
Of course, I'll try it.
I am a huge Fat Bottom Betty fan. They got like a sweet tip, right? So mm-hmm. it's a really smooth cigar, but
I like the number five. There's like a number that my dad, he's really into cigars.
Okay.
He has a whole humidor and everything.
Okay, so yeah.
So I always ask him, hey, you know, I asked him, hey, can I, is it all right if I borrow a cigar? So he gave me, you know, one of his lower ends, you know, but you know, he's very into cigar. He gets like 95s, you know, the 91s. Like he's always looking at the magazines, at the cigars. He's like, oh, let me get this one. You know, so I rely on him for that aspect. Yeah.
Yeah. What I love is how technology allows the younger folks like yourself to have these beautiful professional videos.
Yeah.
We didn't have that. So does it have its drawbacks though to you?
What?
Like having all this technology, because everyone else has it too, right?
That's the game, man. I mean, it's...
So you would say no, it's not really...
I would say if you can afford it, you know, that's... I don't know, man. Like... Everybody's trying to make it. Just depends on how you're willing to do it.
It's a beautiful video, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I would encourage anybody who hasn't seen Save Me, check it out on YouTube. Where else can they find it? Vimeo?
Only on YouTube. Maybe I should
get it on Vimeo.
Vimeo.
Yeah. It's Vimeo. Typically, it'll stream at a higher quality.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's already looking sharp on YouTube.
But could it be even better?
Could it be even sharper?
Whoa.
Actually, I use it for audio because the audio is noticeably less compressed. YouTube will compress the living shit out of your videos.
Huh.
So if you release a brand new song, you want people to really pay attention to the audio. Like, say it's just like a picture of you and the song. Use Vimeo.
Vimeo, okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard
of it. You've probably noticed like... the way a mix might sound like on your AirPods is a little different than it sounds on Spotify.
Yes.
You notice that?
Yeah. I'll look into it. Vimeo.
It's just a really cool way to promote like...
When I get home.
When I get home, boom,
it's on there. No doubt.
All right. So for those who haven't heard it, it is a great bluesy tune. Who's performing on this particular track?
It's Josiah Orsi and Shane Burke.
Josiah is doing the guitar.
Josiah is doing the guitar. And the drums.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
For the future, when you got a guitar lead that's that badass, Josiah should have been in that video. Even if he was just in the shadows, like playing on the steps, because it's so cool. Like having the pair of you two would have been really cool.
That would have been wicked. Yeah. And then Shane is playing the keys. Yeah.
Shane maybe like in
and
a
the
window.
Bass. He's also playing the bass too. Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Whose roof was that?
That is a funny story because we
it's badass.
It was really badass. It was at an apartment complex. What happened was I was, you know, talking to Micah. I'm like, hey man, where am I gonna meet you? He sent me a location, and then we're driving, me and my friend Terrell, we're driving to the location, and he sends, oh no, I want to go to this location. I'm like, okay. So we get to the location, it's the apartment complex, and he says, oh yeah, we were at church earlier and we were talking to some people about how we are shooting a music video. And this girl goes, oh yeah, well, you know, we have a apartment complex and the roof, you know, there's nobody on the roof.
It's awesome.
Ever. Yeah. And she said, just come over. And
that's in Baltimore.
Yeah. So we shot there and had the drone going, man. It was crazy, man.
That's the thing. So I noticed in a lot of the shots, you're running. And I'm just picturing... Jimmy Kell's running through the streets of Baltimore. Like, there had to be people kind of like looking out their window like,
yes.
You all right, man?
Yeah, I was actually running in the middle of the street and two people were walking on the sidewalk and they just stopped. And they're like,
we're shooting a video.
Yeah, I know, right? They're just going. And Micah's sitting in the back of the trunk recording. Like, it looked funny. But the thing is, we got the job done. That's the whole point.
So let me ask you this. The song Save Me, is it a spiritual call to like God for help, grace, redemption, or is it just kind of to anyone who might be listening?
Well, it's funny because I actually wrote that song and like started making it in Nashville. I went down there to
really,
you know, yeah, I went down there to check out Nashville, and I was with my dad, and I was just, you know, yeah, I was checking out like the Broadway, the main street, and I noticed it just, there were a lot of the people performing. It just, it was kind of funny because, you know, they had this passion for music, but at the same time, it's like, will they ever be able to get noticed? You know, because there's so many, it's like, oh man, it's just so many fishes in that sea, you know? It's like, will this person get noticed? They may have the most beautiful voice. The thing is, they could be singing there for 10, 20 years and like they never get the right person to hear them. And I just thought, you know, like, I don't know. I wanted to make a bluesy song when I was down there.
Mm-hmm.
I like to bring my equipment with me anywhere I go because I really just, I like to make music as much as possible. And I made that song down there. I wasn't able to make record the vocals, but I just made the, you know, the track and everything. And I just wrote the lyrics down, made sure I got it. So as soon as I got back to Maryland, I recorded that. And my dad, he always said, that's a really good song. You should get that in the studio ASAP. And I finally got it in there. And the funny thing is, when I got it in there, I wasn't able to get any of the inserts with the actual tracks. And I'm like, I guess we're going to have to do it from scratch. You know, like it's kind of like what I wanted. But I'm like, I guess we have to do it. And we did it all from scratch. And it was just everything I wanted from it came out, you know.
Yeah.
And Josiah killed it. Shane killed it. Thank you, Terry.
It's a really excellent track, Jimmy.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. At the end, you're lying there flat on your back when they of the, you know, the apartment complex. What happened? Were you exhausted or did you die? Like, what happens in the video? What are we supposed to infer from that?
I don't know. It was Micah's idea. He's just like, hey, man, why don't you just lay down on the ground? And I was just laying on the ground and then
drone?
Yeah, and then he positioned me. He's like, just let me move you. Because I was like stiff. He's like, let me move you. And he moved my leg, he moved my arm. And then he's like, okay, good. And he just had a drone hover right. It got like right, like a couple inches from my face, you know, and then it just slowly went up. It was really
not
cool.
Not nerve-wracking at all.
Well, I mean, I was like, better if it hits me, man, it is what it is. But yeah, it was a great shot. That was the whole idea of it, you know, just to get that shot. I don't know really. I mean, the thing is with music, the listener can interpret it any way they want. So it's like, I remember listening to Mac Miller and he said, yeah, I don't like to speak, you know, too much about what the song means because I like the listener to be able to interpret it in their own way. Because, you know, the way you might interpret it might be different from the way, you know, someone else might interpret it. So it's always unique to everyone. That's what makes music so special, I guess, you know, in one way, because everybody can interpret it in another way. It's always different to everybody else. That's why I think, you know, that shot, you know, right there could just be, you know, different to so many other people.
Well, we're going to hear the song at the end. Anything else you want to say about Save Me? Besides add it to your playlist stat.
You better listen to it, please. It'd be great. You know, let's get those listeners up. I don't know, man. I just know that people will enjoy it. I just know that people will feel it because that's the whole idea. I want people to really hear what I'm saying, you know?
What is it that you hope people take from your music at the end of the day?
I just hope their day gets a little better, honestly. As a music artist, you want to, you know, like, I just want to be so, you know, what's that word? Like, you want to be so, what's the word? I can never think of it. You know, it's like, you just put yourself out there and you don't
vulnerable
care. Vulnerable, I guess. Yeah. I want to be so vulnerable to the point where it's scary. You know, like that song was, you know, I didn't really think of it at the time, but that's, you know, that came from the heart, you know,
and
this, yeah. And then this next song I have coming out, you know, that also came from the heart, you know, like this is real, you know, these words really meant something to me, you know? So I guess, you know, for me to open up, I want people to be like, oh yeah, well, I felt the same way. And you know what? He felt the same way. You know, like we can bond with each other. You know, someone said this, if you're a fan of me, then you're a fan of yourself, you know? So I don't know. I just want people to really really to be able to understand themselves a bit better from it. I don't know, man.
You got a lot. You got a lot to offer and a lot going on, Jimmy.
I hope, man. I really hope.
So three things have remained true since I saw you the other night and prior. You're easy to talk to.
Oh, well, thank you.
Your enthusiasm is infectious. And your talent is undeniable. So we're going to listen to...
Thank you, man.
We're going to listen to Save Me, all right?
All right.
Jimmy, thank you for being on the Mouthful Graffiti Podcast.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
My body.